Come and sit up nice and tall. Sit on something if that's helpful to get a tiny arch in your lower back. Close the eyes if it's comfortable. Try to find a tiny little arch in your lower back. Sometimes you need to stick your butt out or round backwards to find that. Try to establish with the eyes open or closed, like you can open them if you need to, but you want to feel that your chin and eye sockets are level. They're like looking straight ahead at a horizon line, that your head isn't tilted in any way. The head sits directly on top of the spine, and try to feel that through the eyes or the chin. And once you kind of get the sense maybe of having both of those things, that tiny arch in the lower back and a level gaze, try to extend the spine taller or higher, longer, maintaining those two things. So you would be shortening or lessening the curve, making that curve smaller as it lengthens up, but you keep the curve and you're trying to get extension in the spine without elevating the chin or the eye sockets. Let the eyes open softly and come to lay flat on your back. Come to lay flat on the back, feet flexed, legs kind of active. Stretch the legs out straight. How are you? It's been a while. And then look straight up and see where your gaze falls. So it's this kind of odd image, but when you look up, you want to be looking directly up. Sometimes if the neck muscles are tight or the back muscles are tight or the what have you is tight, your gaze is going to be sort of backwards a little bit towards the ceiling, but not directly above you, slightly behind you. See if that is the case for you, and try, if that is the case, to lengthen the neck so that you move the gaze so it's straight up. Try to feel how much of your body is on the floor. What's flat to the floor without trying? Base of the, ideally that, bring the legs together if that's comfortable, big toes as close together as comfortable. Feel what's going on at the base of your ribs. If your ribs are not naturally relaxed to the floor at their base, put them there. See what that feels like. What's going on in the backs of the thighs, backs of the knees, backs of the Achilles tendons. Imagine that those body parts could release flat to the ground without hyperextending your knees, which would take your heels off the floor. So you're trying to stretch the legs down. So keep active in the legs, keep the gaze straight up. And let's just spend a minute of breathing. Long, long inhales, long, long exhales. Try to feel the relationship of the rib cage to the floor, how much of it is on the floor, how much of it is off the floor. In an ideal world, which is relative, the entire rib cage is just flat on the floor here without any effort. That's just muscle tension wise, that's what we'd like to have. Couple more really long inhales, really long exhales. You should be able to do that without too much effort. You should be able to get a lot of length into the inhale and a lot of length into the exhale. Try to see if that is the case, if you feel that. And relax the breath, let the breath return to neutral. You can relax the legs. Take your right leg straight up in the air, just the right leg straight up. See how high it gets, see how straight it is. Right, it might be straight, it might actually not be able to get up to 90 degrees straight, it might have to bend to get there. So you might be at 70 degrees straight. Now reach your right hand up for the right big toe, right two fingers, try to reach the right big toe. And maybe they can with the legs straight, but maybe not. And then if you can, so I'm going to give you the choice. If your leg is straight take the big toe and hold the big toe, but you all have a belt, and you can use a belt as an extension of the arm. So if you want to hook the belt around the right foot, and it's relative, but to me, if it's easy to take hold of the foot, take hold of the foot, right? Stretch the left leg out. Make the left leg very active as the right leg. Take the belt into the right hand only. Bring the left hand to the top of the right thigh. Left hand to the top of the right thigh. So the leg that's lifted. And you're going to push the thigh away. You're going to put your hand on the base of the thigh up at the groin and then push that thigh towards me, but pull the leg further towards you if that's possible. So you want to create space. You want to move the top of the leg in my direction as the bottom of the leg moves towards you. And that's a good thing to work on when the hand comes away as well. Nice. Now bring the left hand to the left hip. Make your belly really solid. Make the left leg really solid. Start taking the right leg sideways, but don't let the pelvis lift up into the left hand. So you're trying, and don't fall to the right if you can help it. You want to stay grounded on both sides of the pelvis and solid in the abs so that you're really pulling that leg away from the hip socket. You're creating tension in the leg and the hip. Come on back up. Take the foot or the belt in both hands and give a little more of a stretch. Activate the left leg. You can give it more of a stretch simply by activating the left leg. Ultimately, you want the foot to touch the floor on the other side of your head. Go, go, go. And release, both legs straight. That is how I popped my hamstring many years ago, with a teacher sitting on top of me, putting my foot on the floor, but which he did every day, and it was the best feeling in my life. Like, I loved it. And one day, I think, whatever, I stopped breathing or anything, and it was just an explosion in my pelvis. On that lovely note, left leg up. Take hold of your left foot. So same thing. And if you took the belt, feel if it's any easier. If you use the belt on the first side, right, feel if it's easier to take the left leg. That's not necessarily a positive. You could do the same thing you did on the first side. Even if you were able to take the belt, you want to feel that. Stretch that left leg as straight as you can get it. So, and it took 5 years to heal that hamstring. And I healed it by going back to, I heard it in Ashtanga, which is a really intense practice. And then I healed it by going back to Ashtanga and limping after practice for like an hour a day. And it's when I met my wife. And she thought I was insane. I was like, come on, let's do this practice Ashtanga. It's going to heal my hamstring. Make your right leg really strong. Make your abs really strong. Stretch the left leg. And the crazy thing, it really worked. Like the hamstring had, it was 5 years later and it just kind of needed to be worked and get rid of the scar tissue and all that. And I got back to where I was. But it was a long process and a really scary explosion. Hand on the thigh, so opposite hand, right hand to the left thigh, and really feel that. Push the thigh away. Push the thigh in my direction towards the front of the room, even as you're taking the leg further over. Now bring the right hand onto the right hip. Solidify the trunk. Solidify the leg and start taking the left leg sideways. But be aware that you're not taking the pelvis to the left. You're not trying to roll the trunk to the left. You are actively separating the leg from the pelvis. So if you're tight there, you might not go very far. There's nothing wrong with that. Activate the right leg. Flex the right foot. Come on back up. Take the foot in both hands. Don't pop your hamstring. But imagine your foot, you know, you should be able to kind of touch the floor behind you. Really long, loose muscles. If your hamstrings and your quads are evenly balanced and your calves are happy and long and you don't overwork your joints, you could do that safely. And lower the leg to the floor. Let's do another couple of long inhales and long exhales. Bend the knees, roll to the right. Slowly make your way up to stand. Stand at the front of the mat. Take Tadasana. Feet pretty close together. Feet parallel. Thighs back. So I think everyone is sinking their thighs forward and leaning backwards. So let the thighs move back. Some of you guys are really close. Drop your ribs. Sometimes if I take your thighs back and it takes you into your heels, drop the ribs. So if I take your, soften your knees, your thighs back, and that takes you into your heels, you're going to then try to soften your ribs down to find your way back to the front of the foot. Drop the ribs. Go bleh. Yeah, then lift the chin back up. You can always work to find level. Thighs back. It's such a weird thing. It's just that I think everyone's, go forward. Everyone's legs, now soften your knees, right there. More. No, I'm going to push you forward. Nice. Your legs are directly under your hips.
Like this?
Yeah. Yeah, you're a little forward. Don't worry about it. Look straight ahead. Drop your ribs. That's better than what you think. The thing is, like, that's not great because you're a little forward. Still better than what you think is good. That's my take. Should feel really weird. So breathe here. All I'm doing is taking your legs back and shoving your upper body forward, right? Like, but I think here there's access to your breath. Arms are really nice and loose and hanging. That the gaze is kind of probably really nice. Go back to what you think is good. And for me, what happens to everybody is the same thing, which is it starts in the legs go forward. For some, you also hyperextend the calves, but the legs jam forward and the upper body goes backwards, which collapses this and shuts off access to the breath. So feel your breath here where you think straight is good. Because it doesn't matter, I mean, whatever I think I'm right, but that doesn't help so much unless you feel it, right? I think here, your breath gets stuck and goes up. Go to that weird place I put you, and maybe it's no longer feeling so weird if you've been doing it for a while. And for whatever it's worth, one thing I think is your butt relaxes, which is a really nice thing, and your breath fills the whole trunk more. The breath starts to fill the body in a different way, and I just think that if that more is resonant as an image, that's a good thing. Lengthen the back of the neck as much as you can without lifting the ribs and losing that full breath and that relaxed glutes. Last time, go back to what your image of straight is. See if you just tend to just literally collapse into your lower back, which is why I think so many people have back pain. Pretty simple stuff on a certain level. Thighs back. Front ribs down, back of the neck up. So you breathe fully. You try to extend the head up, but from the back of the neck. And let's get moving. Inhale the arms up. Bow forward over the legs. Don't lock your knees in your forward bend. Feel if that's your tendency. Step the right foot back to a long lunge. And step back, downward facing dog. First things first, take a look at your hands, take a look at your pinky fingers, and if the pinky fingers are moved wider than the outer edge of the palm, move them in. Line up the pinky finger with the outer edge of the palm. Don't spread the thumbs too wide. That's even more important for loose-jointed people. Step the right foot forward in between the hands. Step the left foot to meet it. Hang over the legs. So if the tendency is to lock the knees, don't do that at all. Find the lower leg at a right angle. Feel the feet ground through the inner foot. Inhale the arms up. Bow forward over the legs. Step the left foot back, long lunge. Downward facing dog. Move the pinky fingers in line with the outer edge of the palm. Move the thumb in a tiny bit. And that is a life-changing instruction. Step the left foot forward in between the hands. Step the right to meet it. Don't lock your knees. Inhale the arms up. Release the arms by your sides. Just lift one hand in front of your face and look at it. And so I've been practicing almost 20 years and teaching almost 15. And all of that time, I have just literally spread my fingers as wide as possible and feel like that is active. And I'm really into active. Not all teachers are, right? But now stay active, but move your pinky finger so it lines up with the outer edge and move your thumb in. And if you're gonna be active in that way, I think it has a whole different action on the forearm, upper arm, and the shoulder. Spread the pinkies open. And there's something about losing that joint that really affects the triceps and the rotator cuff. And I actually think there's a similar thing with the thumb, though not as powerful as the pinky. Do the same thing with the other hand, because that's kind of like an exercise. Spread the finger open as much as you can. I watched a Star Trek movie with my son the other day, so he was learning the Vulcan hello, and I can only do it on one hand, and so can he, and I'm like, everyone should be able to do that stuff really easily, and it's not my, you know, I could do it really nicely on the left and not at all on the right. Release. But that's simple things, like I think it's worth, so you know, one pinky back in, two hands, then one finger, you know, and you should be able to do it on both hands equally, and I think that's really good stuff, so I told him to get working at it. Inhale the arms up, bow forward over the legs. Step the left foot back, long lunge. Downward facing dog. There's no such thing as truly ambidextrous, but I'm really into building balance as close as we can to both sides. Check your pinkies right away, because some of this stuff is just brain work. You're just used to a pattern, and then you can change the pattern. It's not that hard. Different for everybody in terms of how long it takes, but step the left foot forward in between the hands. Step the right to meet it. Inhale the arms up. Bow forward over the legs. Step the right foot back, long lunge. Downward facing dog. Pinkies in. Step the right foot forward in between the hands. Step the left to meet it. Breathe easy. Soften the backs of the knees. Long in the legs. Even through the whole foot. Spread the toes. Inhale the arms up. Release the arms by your side. Bend the knees, bring the arms up. Utkatasana. Deep seat in the groins. Bow forward over the legs. Uttanasana. Soften the backs of the knees. Lengthen to a flat back. Extend the spine as best you can without locking the knees. Lengthen the back of the neck so the gaze is straight down. Bend the knees, place the hands. Step the right foot back. Long lunge. Downward facing dog. Pinkies in. Inner foot grounds down. Inner heels reach back. Step the right foot forward in between the hands. Feel the left thigh. Don't let the left thigh sink down too much. Bring the arms up alongside the ears. High lunge. And now try to feel, everyone is different. Bend the front knee so it comes right on top of the front ankle and stretch the back leg straight. Don't sink the hips too much. Don't sink the back thigh too much. And feel what kind of, how square you are in your hips, if you can feel that. Place the hands alongside the front foot. Plank pose. Place the knees on the floor. Chest and chin in between the hands. Slip forward, small cobra. Reach back, down dog. In this image, right, in your down dog, your hips are both square. Your hips are square by nature of your both feet being down, and your outer hips are lined up with your outer knees and outer ankles relatively. Step the left foot forward in between the hands. And come on to the fingertips and square your hips here, and you should be able to do that pretty easily. And then if your pelvic muscles are solid and strong and balanced, when you come up into a lunge, there is going to be no shift in your hips. Bring the arms up alongside the ears. When the pelvic muscles aren't all that ready to get in the game, very often the hips get pulled on this side over the left. So when I say square the hips, you're trying to figure out if you're like outer hip and outer knee are lined up on the front leg. Pull the belly in, drop the front ribs. Plank pose. Knees, chest, and chin. Small cobra. Down dog. Step the right foot forward in between the hands. Step the left to meet it. Lengthen to a flat back. Bow forward. Bend the knees, bring the arms up. Utkatasana. Come on up to stand. Tadasana. Close the eyes. And right away, feel if you go which Tadasana you went to. Let's call them yours or mine. And doesn't matter to me, but feel which variation you're in. Feel the breath, feel the body, feel the bones, and then switch. So either you came back to where I put you or you went back to, you know what I mean? So switch and just feel the difference. I'm endlessly on about feeling the difference. That's where change comes from, right? You need the something to go to. Let the eyes open softly if they're closed. Inhale the arms up. Take the right wrist with the left hand. Take the thighs back and the ribs down. Side stretch left. It's a bit of a crunch action. Take the ribs down and in. Don't lock the knees. Don't let the arms go too far back. Nice. Take the thighs back. And then stretch more. That's it. From the between the pelvis and the rib cage. Come on up. Switch. Right wrist, left wrist, right hand. Thighs back. Side stretch. You're trying to basically find the deepest stretch between the pelvis and the rib cage. For me, more than the shoulder, than the shoulders working. Back up. Release the arms. Inhale the arms up. Bow forward over the legs. Step the right foot back, long lunge, downward facing dog. Plank pose, slow motion, lower all the way to the ground. Come onto your forearms, bring the legs together, elbows under the shoulders. So bring the legs together and then bend the right foot up to the ceiling, reach the right hand back for the right foot, and you're gonna stretch the right quad. And now, depending if you're if your heel gets pretty close to your butt, you are going to try to turn. If you don't know it already, you're going to learn the rotation of turning your fingers in the direction of your toes, which is a wrist rotation to spin your elbow to point up like chaturanga. And then that's going to bring your upper chest into the shape. Now pull the right knee towards the left leg and roll a little to the right and turn the right shoulder forward wherever you're at. Release. And left leg, bend the left leg. So take and bring that left leg right in line with the right if you can. Aaron, move it in more, yeah. So it's really about the heel. If the heel gets close, give me that. If the heel gets close to the butt, I know you're gonna be able to find that rotation. Pull the left knee towards the right leg, roll a little to the left, and turn the trunk forward. Right, you wanna get square on the pelvis and the shoulders to the front. Release. Forearm plank. Tuck your toes. Lift your hips. Find the inner foot. Deepen the groins. Don't lock your knees. Tiny arch in the lower back. Pull the ribs in. Soften the upper back a fraction. And release. Bend the right leg. Take hold of the right foot. So again, if you turn the fingers in the direction of the toes, feel free to do that. Pull the legs as close together as possible. So if you're interested, point the left finger so they're pointing straight ahead in line with the left wrist, and then lift the left elbow up off the floor, straightening the arm, and that's gonna bring you into a back bend, and then turn to the front again. Shoulders to the front, hips to the front. Release, second side, bend the left leg. The support of the back bend comes from the abs, comes from shortening the front body. Bend the left leg, take hold of the left foot, turn the fingers in the direction of the toes if that's what you do. So the thing about what I like about that is that you're gonna be stretching the upper shoulder a ton once you get that, and you wanna make it about that. You wanna work on that. So then turning the left shoulder forward, if you're gonna pop that right elbow up, really solidify the trunk to do it. Straighten the right arm if you're going there. Pull the left knee in towards the right knee. Lengthen the neck. Shorten the front body. Release. Watch for 1 second. We're going to do forearm plank again. And if you're going to either, you're going to do one of three things. You're either going to just work on forearm plank because that's enough. Or you're going to stabilize. Here's one. The other option is stable trunk. The legs move, right? So if I bend my knee, the hip doesn't lower with it. The pelvis stays exactly where it is, and the knees touch to the floor one after the other. So that's one option. The other option is legs steady, and the spine goes up and down. But when the spine goes up and down, the relationship between the pelvis and the rib cage doesn't change, right? You're solidifying everything. So either just work on Straight on forearm plank, or bending one knee after the other, or trying to go up and down in the spine. Good luck. Tuck the toes, lift your hips, pinkies in. And here is a place where you should feel the benefit of those pinkies moving in. Soften the upper back if you can. More ribs in, Libby, more ribs, yeah. Yeah, so your pelvis, when you bend your knees, the pelvis doesn't want to move. That's it, very different. Does that make sense? Child's pose. Well, the spine is such a cool thing because you want it to be supple and you want it to be solid by choice. Nice, downward facing dog. You know, some spines solidify so you're solid, not by choice. Some spines are just don't have the muscle tone to solidify. Step the right foot forward in between the hands. Straighten the right leg. Use blocks for your hands if you like. You can turn the back foot down if you like. Turning the back foot down makes this a more difficult rotation to square the hips. If you turn the back foot down, turn it out a slight angle. 45 degrees is a lot, but it can be that if you want. Stretch both legs as straight as you can. Try to find your pelvis level to the ceiling or parallel or flush to the ceiling. Lengthen forward. Step back, down dog. Step the left foot forward. Straighten the left leg. Square hips. Do the same thing with the back foot that you did on the first side. Try to get extension from the pelvis forward. Roll to the inner foot of both feet. Keep the knees over the ankles and take the thighs back and apart. Down dog. Step the right foot to the back of the left wrist. Right foot, left wrist. So you're going to cross your feet by about 2 inches. If you use blocks again. Straighten the right leg. Legs are crossed by about 2 inches. With the right knee bent at first, you should be able to get the whole foot to the floor, hopefully. And then start straightening the right leg and try to keep the inner foot grounded. That is not easy. Keep straightening the right leg. When you get your right leg as straight as it's going to get and get that inner foot across and down, turn the left hip towards the right foot. Downward facing dog. Left foot to the right wrist. So again, with that left knee bent, you should be able to find a relatively flat and balanced left foot, and then feel, watch, or see what happens as the left leg straightens, and you just check in with your ability to keep that left foot grounded. And due to tightness in the outer hip and connective tissue on the left side, it's just not going to want to stay grounded. Inner foot down, inner knee slightly open, inner thighs back and apart. Downward facing dog. Step the right foot forward in between the hands. Bring the arms up alongside the ears. Interlace your fingers behind your back. Bow forward to the inside of the right leg. So while you're not going to be able to square your hips, you're going to keep trying to square your hips. Right? The nature of taking the trunk to the inside of the leg pulls your hips out. But then wherever that trunk ends up, try to pull your right hip to the midline. Lengthen forward. Bring the arms overhead. At the same time, bring the shoulders away from the ears. Broaden the upper back, if that makes any sense. Falling is good. Back up to the high lunge, release the arms up. Downward facing dog. Second side, step the left foot forward in between the hands. Bring the arms up alongside the ears. Interlace and bow forward. To the inside. It's not about getting the head to the floor or anything like that, though, you know, sometimes that's easy. Not often. Shoulders away from the ears. Working to square the hips. Bottom of the shoulder blade would like to move closer to each other while the upper shoulder blade would like to broaden apart. So you're kind of opening the upper back, which is sort of counterintuitive and not easy. Bring the arms up, trunk up, high lunge. Downward facing dog. Step the right foot forward in between the hands. Step the left foot to meet it. Take opposite elbows. Hold on to the arms. Bring the arms over the ears if you can while staying in the forward bend. Now, be really specific about the legs. Don't push the knees back at all. Try to lift the trunk to a flat back, leading with the elbows. Don't hyperextend the middle back. Pull the ribs in. And then if this is feeling good, you're going to come all the way up. Ribs away from elbows. Elbows away from ribs. Don't lock the knees at the top. Don't sink the thighs forward. Don't elevate the rib cage. Keep the middle back broad and open. And release the arms by your sides. Tree pose. I think tree manifests all the stuff I was talking about at the beginning that we tend to do, that all the stuff I was saying about leaning backwards and sinking the thighs forward, I think manifests even more in tree. So let's see how that goes. Left foot parallel, right knee forward, right foot high up into the left inner thigh. And then bring the hands into prayer in front of the heart. Look down at your right hip and see if your right hip is behind your left hip. And turn the right hip forward so that your hips are in the same exact plane. Now, sometimes that turns the trunk as well. If that's the case, try to keep the pelvis forward and turn the trunk back to the front. Now feel the left thigh where the leg meets the pelvis and see if you're jamming that thigh forward. Don't hyperextend the left knee and stick your butt out a little bit like you're going to Utkatasana. Get a crease in that left hip. And now see if you're elevating the rib cage too much, drop the front ribs. And release. There's a whole nother thing going on, which is the hike of your hip, the height of the two sides, which is just a different piece of work. Left knee forward. Left foot high up into the right inner thigh. Hands in prayer. Look at the left hip and turn that pelvis, deep in the right groin if it's not already, front ribs down. And then if you want to feel the hike or relative the two sides of the hip, it's all those same pelvis muscles. Take the left knee to the front and lower the left foot. Inhale the arms up, bow forward over the leg. Step the right foot back, long lunge. Downward facing dog. Step the right foot forward in between the hands. Square your hips here. Come onto the fingertips. Square your hips. So make your legs just are strong. Your trunk is strong. Don't move anything in the arms, in the trunk and the legs, and bring your arms forward, fingers towards the front of the room. And if your trunk came up, try to lower your trunk. And try to feel if your hips flew off to the right at all, try to pull the hips back to the left. Bring the wrists a little closer to each other and see if you can elevate the arms without elevating the ribs. Downward facing dog. So lots of stuff going on, and this wants to really open up work and turn on the back of your body, your hips, your hamstrings, your lower back. Step the left foot forward. Put a lane between the feet. Give a couple of, 2 inches or so. Set up the trunk and the legs. Bring the arms forward. Square. Front knee right on top of the front ankle. Don't let it go inside or outside. Don't let the pelvis sink. Square the hips off to the right. Wrists closer to each other. Arms would like to ultimately be parallel. Wrists higher, but not the rib cage. Down dog. So it doesn't matter to me your ability to do this stuff, though what I find really interesting is your knowledge of where you need the work, that kind of thing. Step the right foot forward in between the hands. Arms forward again, same thing, but we're going to add on with a variation that it just makes, everything should make it more intense. Lower the trunk if you can. Now straighten the right leg halfway, lower the trunk. Try to keep the trunk exactly where you were before the hands came off the floor. Square the hips. Trunk is directly in the middle of your mat, not leaning to the right. Wrists closer, straighten the right leg one more inch. Bend the front knee, down dog. Second side, step the left foot forward in between the hands. Square the hips, come onto the fingers. Feel how low your trunk is. I'm not really saying you're gonna keep it there, but that's an ideal. Arms forward first, square off. Stretch the left leg about halfway straight. If you can, lower that trunk, wrists in. Wrists up, but not the ribs. Square your hips. Maybe stretch the leg an inch straighter. Reach forward. Down dog. Bend the front knee, step back. Plank pose. Slow motion, lower to the floor in one piece. Interlace the fingers behind your back. When we go into this stretch, you would like your upper back to broaden and the base of your shoulder blades to kind of turn in towards each other rather than just crunch the back together. That's one thing to feel. And then the other thing to feel is what happens in the muscles of your lower back. Press the feet down, point the feet straight, ankles in, lift the trunk. Legs down, trunk up. So first, try to broaden the upper back, which you might need to bend the elbows so they don't lock, but now feel what's going on in your lower back. The muscles of your lower back should not shorten, they should lengthen. Do a little bit of a crunch here, draw the front ribs in, and see if your back muscles lengthen in a different way, lower down. You might not get up as high that way, but I think that is just crucial for your back. We're gonna do two more of those, and we're gonna go to downward dog in between though, if you'd rather. Wait, you can wait. If you want to move on, tuck your toes, hands alongside the chest, and you're going to see if you're either going to go to down dog or see if you can press straight up to plank. So if you want to wait here, wait here. If not, press up to plank or down dog, back to down dog. Plank, broad across the chest. How slowly can you lower to the floor? Quick is fine. Knees down first is fine. This version, interlace the fingers behind your head. We're doing two more. Fingers behind the head. If your shoulders are tight, interlace fingertips to touch instead of interlace. Squeeze the legs, ankles in, elbows up. Now try to get the bottom of the shoulder blade to turn in and the upper shoulder blade to broaden out. And lift the trunk up. And right away, feel the muscles of the lower back, lengthen them. Don't shorten them. And if you want to feel the difference, go up the way you might normally go up, and you probably go higher, then shorten the front and lengthen the back, feel the difference, lower down, make your way to down dog. You can go straight, you can go to plank or not, you can wait here. You can go to plank first if you want, you can go straight to down dog. From down dog, back to plank, slow motion to the floor. Cactus arms, arms out to the side, elbows at the height of the shoulders, upper and lower arm at a right angle. Elbows down to start, wrists down to start. Everything is really straight and not, if you can look at your wrists and fingers, everything's extended, no hyperextension at all. Lift the trunk, arms and head up. Arms up too, elbows, wrists. Try not to pull the elbows back towards the pelvis. Try to keep the wrists at the height of the elbows and try not to hyperextend the fingers, a lot going on. And then pull the ribs in towards the pelvis, lift higher, but don't shorten the muscles of the lower back. And release. Downward dog. Bend the knees, look between the hands, walk or jump your feet forward. Inhale the arms up. Release the arms by your sides. And let's go to the wall. Bring your mat to the wall. Come to the wall, come onto your hands and knees with your feet up against the baseboard. Feet up against the baseboard, wrists underneath the shoulders. L-shaped handstands, so don't set up too close to the wall. You give yourself a break if you need it. Take the knees up off the floor. Step one foot up the wall to the height of your hips. Step the other foot to meet it. Then you have to find the place where the shoulders are on top of the wrist, because that's when you then have to really kick the abs in to open the middle back. Child's pose. In this one, I just want you to hollow your belly in as much as you can. Just try to activate the abdominal muscles at the front of the body. They actually are at the back as well, but activate the front of the body to open the back of the body. Come on up, second leg starts. Come up with your second foot. This is about getting those same back muscles to lengthen. Don't sink the shoulders to the wall. Child's pose. One more, come on up, and if you can jump, jump, and if you can put a block between your thighs, put a block between your thighs to jump. Go. Child's pose. Turn around, take downward facing dog with the fingers 5 inches away from the wall. Move forward towards plank. Move your shoulders towards plank. Look at your thumbs. Step one foot in, whichever leg you want. Lift the other leg up. Not too far. Step that one foot in just a few inches. Lift the other leg up and hop towards the handstand. Keep your gaze at your thumbs. Hop towards the handstand. Child's pose. So I say look at your thumbs, and you really want to look at your thumbs. It is a very beneficial instruction. So do that again on your second leg, right? So come back up, just try to hop up on your second leg, starting down dog, step the up, whatever foot you stepped in on the first side, step the other one in. It's just like 6 inches, and then lift the other leg up halfway. Look at your thumbs and hop nice and light. Don't worry about getting up. Child's pose. There is no back bend, and you don't want your hip to open. You want to go up, that's much different. Solid through the pelvis, solid through everything. All right, so now you're either working on the same thing, going up with one leg or the other, but if you're able to go up, I want you to go up, I want you to walk your fingertips right up against the wall. So you can't look at your fingers anymore if your fingertips are against the wall. It's a strange way to come up, but what it's going to do is everyone who's up now, when you're up, very often the back is arching too. It's all the same stuff as standing, and everywhere else, the back is arching too much, and I think if you can get up with your fingers against the wall, you can then work to open the back in a nice way that you don't often get in handstands. Come on up, and it might take a couple of hops, and it's weird and might be claustrophobic, but you'll get there if you want. Awesome. Ribs in. Ribs in, middle back to the wall, then look, yes, more ribs, go up the wall, that. Child's pose. Imagine that there is no back bend in a handstand unless the teacher says, now do a back bend. A handstand is Tadasana upside down, and that is really not easy to do. And that's the point of that. The fingers close to the wall, I feel, helps you get as much of that length in the back as you can. So one more handstand. If you like that, do it again. You know, turn that, walk the fingers up. But if you want, you walk back to where you were, but try to find that same activation in the front to lengthen the back. Come on up, one more handstand. Child's pose. Back to the middle of the room. Downward facing dog. So there was a teacher who used to teach here, and she is amazing. Like, she's an amazing handstander. At the beginning of class, I would go through all of my nonsense about standing, and she did not particularly like it or didn't stand that way. And then we would go to handstands, and I could her handstand was exactly what I wanted in her Tadasana. And this is someone who could probably balance in a handstand for 5 minutes. I don't really think you can do that if you have bad posture, right? If you're not dead on, you're not staying up for that long. So you kind of have to find. So handstands are so much about that Tadasana. Everything is, right? That's the shtick. Step the right foot forward in between the hands. Step the left foot in about 2 or 3 inches, not much. Bring your hands onto your hips. Bend the knees so the belly is on the front thigh, basically. And you're gonna come into warrior three like this. You're gonna lift the back leg up off the floor and pitch the body forward. And I actually think this is the nicest way for the hip socket to get into the shape. Come into warrior three, stretching the right leg as straight as you can, keeping the hands on the hips, dropping the left hip, trying to get the left leg to the height of the hip, and trying to get your spine right in the middle of your two legs. Bend the knee, step back, down dog. There's so much to be gleaned from how your body takes on this shape. Step the left foot forward in between the hands. Hands, step the back foot in that same few inches, bring the hands onto the hips. So I think this is a fairly gentle way for your left hip joint to go into the shape. Make your way forward into warrior three. Turn that right hip down. Keep turning the right hip down. Try to get the right heel to the height of the hip, not higher, and the shoulders, hip, and ankle all in the same plane. Keep dropping the right hip. Very nice. Bend the knee, down dog. Level pelvis, level pelvis. That's the thing you're looking for most. Everything else grows out of that. One more and hand variation of your choice. I think that the best way to do warrior three is with my fingers interlaced behind the back, the way we were playing earlier. The hardest way is the arms forward, though there are advantages to that as well. Step the right foot forward in between the hands. Step the back foot in a little bit. Keep the trunk low. Come back to warrior three. Take the hand position of your choice. Something about interlacing the fingers helps the balance for me. Don't lock the knees though. Drop the left hip. Slow motion to down dog. Last one, step the left foot forward. Step the back foot in a little bit. Same hand position you did on the first side. Come on up. Slowly, downward facing dog. Child's pose. Come on up and lay flat on your back. Have two blocks. Bend the knees, place the feet to the floor. Bring your arms into a cactus. We'll get to the blocks in a minute. Take the knees together and knees into the chest. Take the knees towards the right elbow. Open all 10 fingers. Take the knees towards the right elbow. Keep the left shoulder down. Squeeze the legs together as best you can. Back up to the left. Back up to the right. Left shoulder down, legs together. Back up to the left. Back up, one more to the right. Back up, and over to the left. Back up, and release. Block between the inner thighs, block between the feet. Long between the inner thighs, wide between the feet. Between the inner thighs, closer to the knee than to the groin. Wide between the feet, so the big toes are against the block. Squeeze the block between the inner thighs. Squeeze the block really hard. Keep squeezing the block really hard. Put a tiny arch in your lower back. And lift your hips up into bridge. Feet down, hips up. Squeeze the block. Don't thrust your hips. Don't lose the crease in your hips. Feet against the block. Inner thighs against the block. Groins deep. You have to even don't go less high in the pose to keep the tiny arch in your lower back. That works for me. Breathe easy. Don't grip your butt. Tiny arch in the lower back. Lower down. Feel your pelvis here and it's even to the floor. Squeeze the block. Come back up. Arch in the lower back. This time, try to feel how much you're working from side to side, right? Are both legs evenly against the block? Does one of your hips higher or lower? Is your pelvis level? Are you falling to one foot? Do you have more weight in one foot, which would mean one side of the body more than the other? Block between the thighs should be centered directly between the block between your feet. Search out balance in the two sides of the body. Don't grip your butt. Lower down. Everyone's going to keep the block between the feet and keep the block between the thighs if you want that, if you want it, which I think is great. And we're going to come to full wheel if you do full wheel, which is hands up alongside the ears with the fingers pointing towards your heels. The thing about doing this with blocks is you have to keep the blocks connected. Don't move your feet off the blocks. Don't move your thighs off the blocks. Hands up alongside the ears if you want to do full wheel. Hands alongside your hips for half. Slow motion, come on up.
Are you sure that this is for everyone?
No. Are you sure this is good for everybody? Slowly lower down. Do one more if you want. You want to shorten the front of your body to do a back bend. So stick your butt out. Don't thrust your hips up too much. Deepen the groins. Roll your elbows towards each other. Roll the block towards the floor. You want to try to roll the sit into a chair and get the block to move down towards the floor a little bit. Nice, man. Elbows in. Deepen the armpit. Yes, yes. More, more. Yeah. Slowly lower down. Drop the knees to the right. When I mentioned earlier, I started doing Ashtanga yoga. Ashtanga is this practice where there are no props. You're just not allowed to use props. And the idea of props, you know, I was a very arrogant Ashtangi, and I would meet someone on the street and go, oh, you do yoga that's not Ashtanga? It's not yoga. And so I was just taught, never use props. They're bad for you. Back up and switch sides. And then when I finally discovered props, they're the best. You can learn so much from the props. The only thing is you have to know when to get rid of them. And you have to know why you're using them and what you're using them for. But they can just be so beneficial and helpful. Back up. Left knee into the chest. Right leg out straight. Twist. Twist the left knee across the right side of the body. You can bring the left arm out to the side. You can bring the left arm slightly over the shoulder. Look over the left shoulder if you'd like. Creating space in that left side, especially after back bending. This is really nice. Back up, switch sides. Back up, happy baby pose. Take the knees into the chest. Hold on to the outsides of the feet if that works. Pull the outer foot down, press the inner foot up, draw the knees down towards your armpits. And then you finish, you can roll the spine, you can round the spine, you can lengthen the spine. You can extend the spine, trying to find an arch in your lower back here. And as you're ready, you're going to release and relax into Shavasana. Feel free to do anything else you might need to finish. By all means, you really want to get to Shavasana in a comfortable way. And then as you're ready, let everything release and relax.